Growing up in church, literally on the pew, word that I heard a lot, especially when I was younger, of course, but was be still. We're apostolic church, but that's the word I heard all the time, be still. And meanwhile, everyone else, the adults, were being everything but still, but I had to be still. You can see where it was a little bit of a conflict. But my movement wasn't in line with worship. It was usually out of order, at least according to my mom and according to rules. Sitting with her, that was the safest place really to be because I would be more prone to be all right. I'd behave. And she would be the one that called the shots or, you know, the penalties. But if I ever set up on the front row, which we did a lot, it's like I was always penalized to have to sit by her. Then after a while, probation would be over and I'd get to go back and sit on the front. But on the front row, there would be about three or four of us guys, sometimes more. If the pastor ever just leaned over and snapped, and he could snap so loud. I've never been able to snap that loud, but every parent heard the snap. And if it was directed, because when he snapped, he stared at us and stilled us with that stare. But if he ever snapped, and there could have been 10 guys on the front row, if I was in that 10, I was guilty. Didn't matter what I'd done, I was guilty. And so being still was a challenge for kids. It always is. And I was challenged in that regard. But the Bible tells us to be still. So what do we do about that? Be still. Psalm 46 and 10. Be still and know that I'm God. Can we know that he's God and be active? Well, the way he's talking about it means you need to quieten your efforts, your movements, and you need to pay attention to me. He said you need to let go of the desperate attempts to replace me and know that I'm God. That makes it a little more easy to understand. Quit trying to do things your way and know that I am God. So be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. God understands what and where our battles are. And most of our battles are in our mind. They start there. Anyway, it starts. Decisions are there. And the Lord knows that. Your Facebook and Instagram page, while you're sitting here, it could be blowing up. You better check it right now. No, really, don't. Let's stay here. You may be getting comments on something you said or commented on, and somebody's, you know, lifting it up to the heights with their comments or their clicks. The constant pursuit of stimulation, it just creates a need for more of that. You know how it is if you're ever at a birthday party with a five-year-old, four-year-old. It's not a quiet place because kids are there and it creates a synergy. And it does. It's louder and louder. And I when I go to those parties, I'm glad to be there. Trust me, I'm glad to be there. But I'm also glad when you get to go home because it's, you know, and I was that way too. The pace at which purchases can be made today, the pace at which you can do things and order something and it can be at your door the day you order it now. I'm waiting on them to be able to get it to your door when you think about it. It crossed my mind, ding dong, it's here. Somehow they'll be able to predict, because there's a lot of that and I know I'm joking a little bit, but there's a lot of predictability placed into the software of these corporations to try to figure out where trends are heading and what you're going to want to be or do, where you're going to want to spend your money. It is truly a race. People have called it the rat race. I just say, let's call it a race. Let's be civil. It is a race. Corporations looking for ways to get more people towards them, getting more people to purchase from them and get on board. And so many things we can do. My wife and I went to an office the other day, and got pre-check approved so that we have pre-check when we fly for 5 years. It's one of them things you would go through and they'd say, you know, you'd get pre-check. That means don't take your shoes, belt, laptops out of the bag. You just walk through the way it used to be. And it's so much less stressful than to have to get all that out, because ultimately, I'll leave a laptop, a shoe, something, and I'll be wondering, where's my stuff? I got to go back, and someone's pointing to it. They don't want to touch it. You come get it off the belt. It's just frustrating when you're going through an airport and that you have to do those things. And so pre-check, they give that to you for free a couple of times to get you used to it, and then you don't get it anymore. And then they have a sign. You need to go to this place and purchase it. So we did. And it was an ordeal. It's fingerprints, thumbprints, everything. But they want to know who you are for sure, so you're safe to travel like that. And it makes a difference to us to not have to be worried about taking everything out of your, you know, the routine. You know what it's about, the laptop out of the bag and everything. And so we purchased a convenience that takes the stress level down quite a bit, because things are so hectic. The stress level rises. And going on a plane, just thinking about the word airport, sometimes it just, you know, we, like I told y'all the other day, we stayed in an airport most of the night. It was just too many canceled flights, and pre-check don't help you with that. You just, you know, it was just one of those things. It literally was 4 or 5 days I was still feeling that effect, because you just don't get your sleep back. But the Bible is telling me that that is really not the important factors of life. The Lord said, be still and know that I'm God. That takes care of a whole lot of stuff right there. Be still and understand who I am. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. Think about what the Lord is promising here with his word. Only in our stillness can we truly see the exalted God. Let me go ahead and announce my point tonight. I just want to remind you to slow down and notice the glory and the presence and the wonderfulness of God. I'm afraid I'm passing some of the details up. I'm afraid I'm passing it up. I go through a museum and I can stay a long time. And I'm not an art aficionado. I don't know about ancient artifacts. I wouldn't know the difference if one was, you know, dug up yesterday, or if it was a relic that was found many years ago. A master art piece. I don't know that names of many, and a Manet and a Monet, they look the same, and they're supposed to be two different men. I wouldn't be able to tell you which one. A Van Gogh, I can kind of tell, because it looks like a 7-year-old painted it. It does, and I have a collection of his stuff on my iPad, because I just think it's kind of cool that he painted like that and got paid a lot of money. Cut his ear off, painted a portrait of that, made a lot of money after he died. And so I'll go to a museum, and I'm just going through looking at stuff to catch my eye. There's people that are masters of that, and that's just, they'll sit and stare a hole through something. Not literally, but they just stop and slow down. And I've found that if I stop and just absorb what it is and think about that year that was painted in 1820 or 1640 and think, my goodness, that's hundreds of years old. And that paint was put on there by a brush, and that's it right there. The original. I like to see the original, don't you? Amazing that it's there. I won't own it. I can't take it off the wall. I can't look at it, can't feel it. But man, it's so awesome to see something that old and sometimes very, very precise in its detail. Beautiful stuff. I don't want to get in a hurry when I'm in a place like that. You don't go to the museum on your 30-minute lunch break and try to take it all in. That's something you want to slow down for. Not just the Word of God. I'm not talking about the Word of God is here forevermore. But the moving factor, the factor that's replaceable, the factor that's always up in the air is God's people. We're the ones that are moving through this life. He's the same. He's the same. Yesterday, today, forever. He is the same. And it's not, I'm not going to make God larger. I exalt him and I magnify him. That's about me. That's me saying I want to get all I can out of God, and I want to tell somebody else about him and they'll know about God. But if I don't tell them, God can make himself known many other ways. It's my benefit. It's for my family's benefit that I need to stop and look and notice the glory of the Lord that is in an everyday world that we live in. He is magnificent for us to behold. It occurs to me at times, I'll be reading perhaps a scripture or a chapter in the Bible that's maybe one of those difficult ones, and I'm having to look up words or something and meanings of scriptures, and then it just kind of opens up like a rose. Wow. And it causes me to go, again, Lord, let me just tell you, you are awesome. This is just amazing. It takes my breath away. And here I was trying to speed through that so I could get to my, you know, chapter I was going to read today and move on. But I have to just stop and say, wow. And I read this scripture today, and it caused me to say, I've got to wait a minute. I've got to stop and pause. I don't want to remind the church today. Remember that the best things, they need to be observed and taken in slowly. It's better than a museum, because the same God. You know, wouldn't it be great to go back in time and stand there by one of the artists, stand there as the Mona Lisa was being painted? I say, sir, you need to paint it on a bigger canvas. That's really little. People are going to be coming from all over the world. You don't know that right now. It would be awesome to go back and see them at work. Leonardo da Vinci, amazing, brilliant man. Inventions and paintings and so forth. Amazing people. What could they have done in today's world with their brains? Who knows? But what they did then was amazing. But to think that we have dwelling in us the presence of the one that said, let there be light. He's right here. And that's why today I want to say, let's just be still a moment and gather. Take this in, that what we have today is the powerful Creator dwelling within us by His presence, by His Holy Spirit. And He leads us and guides us into all truth. And He allows us to find His will and do His will. It's up to us how we exploit it, or however we want to deal with it in our life, how I want to place it into my world. But I want it everywhere I can get it. I want God to be everywhere that I can see Him. The constant pursuit, you know, that in our world today of stimulation, it just creates a need for more stimulation. It really does. No one is satisfied. They're just not satisfied. It's human nature. The television news, when I grew up, it was at 6 and 10. That was the rule. You know, everybody followed it, and all of a sudden, somebody, I don't know whoever it was, came up with news 24/7, and people said there's no market for that. And now there's news and everything else 24/7. I'm talking about just 100% constant stimulation, information overload. So much information. And when I get away from all that information, it amazes me how I was able to get up out of bed and get up and not read the news online or whatever your choice might be. Amazes me that we can still live without that when we push it away for a while. And even be better in our minds and spirits. Because we can make it without what they're trying to make you think you need a lot of. Because the more you partake of it, it can be clicks on your laptop or your iPad, but the more you partake of it, the more money they make from their advertisers. That's what they're wanting, is more money. I don't have time to dwell on it, but the word influencer is a new term. There's influencers and there's micro-influencers. It's people that did a little ditty, a little video on YouTube or Instagram, and people watched it. Doesn't matter what it is, they just got people to watch them. They do weird things and people watch it, or maybe really awesome things. But, you know, I don't know. But if you get enough people watching you, the advertisers get more money for that little blip that comes on and you have to watch it for a few seconds, and that person can be called an influencer. If somebody, I guess, that has a smaller following, micro-influencer. And in my regard, what I'm called online is ain't no influencer. I'm just there, you know. I don't know if that would even be a term, but I just breeze by it, you know. And to me, what we do in the kingdom of God trumps anything that they're doing, any kind of money that they're making. and, oh, Lord, good for them. Go ahead and make your millions or whatever much you're making. But at the end of the day, it might be money, but you're not any different than you were. You just got a lot of people wanting to look at it. I saw an article the other day, and it said these two groups in Germany got together. Two fights broke out by two rival groups. They were sent by their influencers who were YouTube stars, and one sent one team out, one sent his followers out, and they had a brawl and a fight downtown while these dudes were just sitting there behind their laptops. They didn't have to go fight, but they created a brawl, and police had to come break it up because they said, y'all go out there and beat each other up. Wow. Without leaving home, at least the ones that caused it. That's our world as we know it today. But he said, be still and know that's life, that's people. They'll do all of that, but be still and know that I'm God. Martha was too busy. Remember Martha and Mary. And Martha was too busy. And she said, Lord, could you make Mary help me do the dishes and clean up because I'm trying to get dinner ready. Martha, Martha, he said, you're busy and encumbered about many things. But Mary, she's chosen that needful part. She chose the good part. And I'm not taking that away from her. And that is her time with me. If I settle myself down in front of God and say, Lord, I just need to spend more time with you, he will move things in my world to make that happen again. He will do things in your life to allow you to get back at his feet again so he can influence you. Because I don't want to be an influencer. I want to be influenced by. Because it's the Spirit and it's the Word that is our influencing powers right now. Amen. That's what we're after. And that's what God is doing. And I'm thankful today. I'm thankful that God gives us these things that we can hang on to. It's not about right and wrong, but it's about being right with God. I want to be right where he is and right with him at all time. Being still, think about it. Being still causes a necessary pause. When I just tune everything out and just sit there for a moment and think about the Lord, it causes me to take in the scene, take in the day, take in the things that God has done, and just glorify him. Lord, thank you for the day. The world is saying, get on the bus and let's go, and get us moving. And there, you know, there's a pace that it's going at, and it's good to just stop and say, no, that's not going to determine the speed that I'm living my life. I want to stop and see the details that God has because I know I've missed some. I know because I've seen 1 week go by, the other week is just like that week, and I don't know which one was different. But each one, if I look close, had God in a different way, in a different level, in a different blessing. He solved a different problem because he was there. We didn't know it. We raise our kids, and there's things they never know we do for them. There's a lot of things they know we do. But, you know, as a parent, as you're raising that baby, you don't remind that baby every time you change their diaper. Now, here it goes again. That's 12 times this very day. Don't know what your problem is. You don't mark it. You don't have a score. You just love the kids. You just do that because you love them. And those details, it all meshes together to form a great life of caring for a child. Think about your Heavenly Father. So many things that he's running around doing that we never see him doing in our life. Details he's taking care of, blessing us, we don't see it. But he's doing what he needs to do to bless his people. Thank God for it. Mark chapter 4, 39, it says, he arose and he rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace, be still. I don't know what he said to the wind. He might have said, shame on you. How could you? How dare you? See what I'm doing in a boat with my friends? Don't ever do that again. Understanding. The wind doesn't have a personality. The sea doesn't have a personality. He created these things. But because they occurred at a particular time, he had the authority over what he created. Rebuked the sea, and he said, peace be still, peace be still. And there was a great calm. And the sea said, yes, sir. We're just doing what we do. He says, but I'm rebuking you, and I'm causing peace because I got my friends here on a boat. That storm might have came for a reason. It might have been a seasonal storm, most likely it was. But he was showing them how much care he had for them and how much authority he had in their life. He can bring a snowstorm in July if he wants to, and he can take a hurricane right in the middle and just pause it if he wanted to do such a thing. He is God. He can do those things. His mastery, his authority is beyond my comprehension. I don't understand such authority. But it says there was a great calm. Peace be still. It was just the weather. There was a war being waged on those in the boat due to their location at that very moment. Those on the shore, those locked in tightly in their homes, they were all right. They didn't hear peace be still, but they probably did notice. All of a sudden, did you notice the storm just quit? It was raining and then it just stopped. They opened their doors. And the sea's calm out there. And they may have never understood. They didn't hear him. What an odd thing to happen. Right when the wind begins to blow and the waves kick up and we hear the rain pelting against the roof, suddenly it just stopped. Clouds gone. How did that happen? That there was people, you know, that had to be somewhat confused, but there were some disciples in a boat that were very relieved because they thought, we're all going to die. Lord, we're going to die. Do you not care that we perish? Woke him up because they thought they were going to die. Here's what he was showing them. All right, I'm on the boat with you. You should never have thought you're going to die anywhere close to me. But I went a little step further and I just stopped everything that you were afraid of. Because if I have to, I'll do that. It's natural, but I'll stop what's natural to show you that I have power over what's natural. It's time for a storm. The weatherman predicted it 3 days ago. It came exactly the day he said it would, but I stopped it because you were afraid. I want you to know I have power over anything that frightens you. Anything you're worried about, anything that comes against you, I have power. I have authority over anything that comes against you. Peace, be still, done, over with. He was stretching their understanding out. Remember where their understanding was? Lord, do you not care that we're about to all die? The word perish means we're not going to be living. Do you not care we're going to die? And in just a moment, he said, look what I can do. Peace be still. That's it. Not peace. He could have said peace. But he said, be still. Don't want any movement. No movement. That was a difficult thing when I was growing up. Y'all know that. Your parents or your teachers say, just be still. Oh, you wanted to move so bad. I didn't care about moving until you said it. Now I want to move. You drew the line. Now what am I going to do with the line? They'd get aggravated, us moving around in the back seat. No seat belts. There's stuff down there behind them. We're thrashed back and forth, and you know we're making a game out of it. Quit moving back there. You're making noise. Be still. That wasn't any fun. Parents, you know, it's impossible to tell a kid to be still and expect they're going to be still. A child can't obey that. We used to tell our kids in the car, play the quiet game. It lasted about 4 seconds. Dumbest game ever, Dad. I agree. Trying anything. Jesus spoke to a storm. Be still. Now, that's not just a Bible story. That's an example of what he does for people's lives. He can calm your storm. And right immediately, if I were to tell you to, you know, think of some issue in your life, a storm going on, and you think, well, okay, I would say, now you believe God can do it? Yes. And then we start thinking of the steps that he would go through to have to create an out plan, you know, a relief effort. That you wasted your time going through all that. You don't have to do that. He can just say, peace be still, boom. Yeah. The weatherman just quits his job right then that day. I'm never coming back to this job. I can't predict this. That's the kind of things God does. Yes. He speaks, and it's over. Peace without being still. Now, see, he could have said just peace, and there's still movement. But peace without being still will create the same problem again. If all I come to God for is peace, but I don't want stillness, I want to continue to rove around and check out my options. Give me peace, Lord, while I go find out what I want to do. I'm going to end right back up saying, all right, I need a dose of that peace again. But the reason he has peace, be still, is he's putting those two together saying, that's all that you need to make it, because you've got peace and now you've got calm. You're going to be able to go another day. But if you only have peace, you're going to be back to not having peace anymore if you keep moving, because it was the direction you're going that caused the issue. Amen. So God gives us the package deal, peace. Be still. Together, he does it all, and we are the beneficiaries of such a great thing. But see, if the disciples were still stumbling around after the wind dies down, that brings on another problem. So his command wasn't a suggestion to them, not like me telling the kids, be still. It's him commanding, and stillness happened. And therefore, they were safe. He said enough things for them to be in a safe environment, to not believe that they were going to perish, because he cares about what we think about. He cares about how we feel. He cares about what we go through. That's just awesome about God. That storm could have been set for another 5 hours. Truly, it might have had a time limit on it, but Jesus just cut it short. Always know this. And I have been amazed so many times, and you have too. If we had testimonies here tonight, we could be here to the rest of the night talking about how ways in which God came through in magnificent ways. But he amazes me over and over again, because I'm praying to him for an answer, and I have it mapped out how God needs to do that, because I've been living long enough to know that's how it works out. And he comes from the back door somewhere and just throws a curve, and you think, I never saw it coming. Lord, you did an amazing thing. He can calm the wind. He can speak to storms. There's no limits to what God can do. There is no limits in all in how he operates. He is the Messiah that came to save us by dying and rising from the dead. There's nothing beyond God's ability. He's a mighty God, a mighty God. Amen. The calm was really relative to the storm. The calm was made greater by the storm, and when he said, peace be still, the calm was that much greater of a calm. He raises up the level, then he puts it down to show you that's what was there. Now look what you have. You have something far greater. Matthew 13 and 53 through 58. It came to pass when Jesus had finished these parables that he departed from there, and when he had come to his own country, he taught them in their synagogue, so that they were astonished and said, where did this man get this wisdom and these mighty works? Now, I'm going to ruin it for you, because it said he didn't do any mighty works, but they knew he had done mighty works. So he comes with a reputation. So remember, they're saying, where did he get the wisdom and these mighty works? Is this not, now they're going to qualify him or disqualify him, is this not the carpenter's son? Is this not his mother called Mary, and his brothers James and Joseph, Simon and Judas? We see his family members here. He was raised here. Got a tree out there with his name on it. You know, that sort of thing. They knew he had been here. He had signs of him being there. So they were offended at him. Who do you think you are, coming in here with a reputation like that? But Jesus said to them, a prophet's not without honor, except in his own country and his own house. In other words, prophets get honor except when they're like me coming home. Homecoming, there's no honor. So they said, how do you do this? And he said, I don't have any honor here. What he was saying is the path is not laid out for me to do great works. I can't come to you and do things because you don't believe in me. You don't have me exalted. You have me carving my name on a tree. You know my sisters and my brothers. That's the problem. You lowered me. You didn't exalt me. When Christ becomes common, when he becomes common, when he becomes commonplace, you know, I've been in construction, y'all know that, and I've heard every word, and I've heard curse words used so creatively that I just, you know, in the middle of a word, they'll put, you know, it's just amazing how guys can just dress it up. And it never, that doesn't bother me. And when I'm in, right now it would, but when you're submerged in that environment, it just doesn't bother me. Unless they take his name in vain and something gets all over me. I say, Do you know who you're talking about?
Yeah.
Oh man, I'm sorry, I don't like that. You can do that here, but I'll say, I just don't like it. All that other, you know, it doesn't bother me. I know you guys. But oh, I don't like having his name thrown around like it's common. Because I've heard that name proclaimed when a healing was about to take place. I've heard that name proclaimed in baptism as I was being put under the water. And that name is a saving name. And I don't like that name being thrown around so commonly like that. You're so far from understanding the power that is in it if you used it in the right context. You know what? This is what was happening at home. It's Jesus. And Joseph, remember Jesus and Joseph, Joseph and Jesus. They put him in a family setting and said, it's just that kid. He was a good carpenter. I remember his dad taught him. They had the stories. So Jesus brought his disciples there knowing what awaited them, but he was showing them something. When my name gets common and I'm not revered or exalted and I'm not held in high regard, not much is going to happen. There is a place, he was telling them, there's a place. He wasn't trying to throw shade on Nazareth. He was just saying, there's a place that I can be where my name's not exalted anymore. I'm not revered. And this is what happens in his own country, in his own house. What he is saying here is it can be in churches where it gets so common to have him that he's not revered or we're not excited anymore. And that's why I wanted tonight to say, let's pause, let's stop and just think about the majesty, the power, the wonder of his name again. I want to stand in awe of him tonight. I want to recognize the beauty of his holiness. Oh, the demand you make on us, Lord, is so slight. And yet, the glory we are able to see in you is magnificent. Magnificent. I want to see a mighty God in this church. I want him to do mighty works. Sister Crawford, I don't want you to be the only one that God instantly heals of chronic pain and suffering. I would like you to tell what you told me about how many things you were healed of. Lung disease, yeah. Yeah, having to use inhalers and everything, yeah. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Ankles was didn't hold her up. Legs wouldn't hold her up. Amen. Had to. You remember, she came in on a cart. She had to ride the cart to come in. And she left it and has not gone back to it yet. Amen. That's the power of the name of Jesus. That's what God loves to do, is show himself available in our lives. Amen. But they were offended at him. But he let them know a prophet's not without honor until he gets to his own house. I want him, and this, we're not Nazareth, y'all. We're Grace Point. God is honored in this place. But I want to elevate him. I want to stand in awe of him. Now he did not many works there because of their unbelief. Oh, Lord, I want you to keep doing works here, God. I want to see some more miracles, Lord. I want to see some more deliverances. Mark 6 and 31, my last reading. He said to them, come ye yourselves apart into a desert place. He said this to his disciples. And rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to even eat. And they departed into a desert place by ship privately. He said, here's what we need to do. There's times you just got to get away with Jesus. Separate from what's pulling you in that other direction and just get with Him and say, Lord, I want to be with You in that desert place. I don't want to be bothered. I don't want to be hampered by any outside forces or sources, but I want it all to be about You. Let us stand. Amen. I'd like to gather you to the front tonight. We don't do that on Wednesdays all the time, but we've got a few minutes, and we're going to let the Lord just kind of breathe on us a few seconds before we're done here tonight. Amen. I don't have like a motive here other than just, Lord, I want to feel Your glory one more time. I want to experience His presence in this house. And you may need a healing touch, and God can heal you tonight. See, we've talked about God and His power, and perhaps our faith is higher than it was when we came in. I sure hope so. And this is an opportunity right now. An opportunity for us to praise God, to lift Him up and honor Him, and stop for a while to pause and say, Lord, let me reacquaint myself with Your presence and Your glory in the name of Jesus. Can we lift our hands and do that? In the name of Jesus, Lord, I don't ever want it to be too common, Lord. I don't ever want this to be every day that I just pass by and I'll overlook the glory and the honor and the power of God. But Lord, in the name of Jesus, I pray, let Your glory, let Your power, the awe of it all, Lord, let it dawn on me, let it come into my mind. Let me recognize I serve a great big God. Savior, healer, the way maker, oh, the one that calms the storm in your heart, the storm of your life, the one that can say, peace be still in the home. How great is that God? Oh, You are mighty. Lord, You are awesome in this house. You are great, and I thank You, God. How awesome is our God. Thank You, Lord. Think about His love. Think about it.
Oh, think about His goodness.